Okay, good morning, Angie. We're ready to go. Okay, Angie, I can't hear you. Okay, I need somebody to unmute and tell me that they can hear me. You'll have to hit star six. Can y'all hear me? Because Elaine and Angie, I can't hear y'all. Okay, everybody just hang in there. We're going to stay calm. Okay, I don't know what's going on. So I don't know. This is what happens sometimes. So everybody just stay calm. We will get this done. Okay, so I'm gonna mute everybody again because I just unmuted everybody. That's why we can hear papers rattling and dishes and everything else. And so when I hit do this again, Angie and Elaine, y'all star six again. Okay, Angie, star six.
Okay, it worked.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Great. Okay, well, good morning, everybody. This morning, it's my pleasure to introduce National Sales Director Elaine Williams. Elaine joined Mary Kay in January of 1992 while working full-time as an elementary school teacher. While still teaching, she won her first car and went on to be a Cadillac Sales Director in January of 1994. She is married to Mike, and they currently live in Panama City Beach, Florida. Their first year, Elaine's elite unit achieved $600,000 in retail sales, and was the National Sales Director Halu Top 10 Unit, where they remained every year prior to becoming a national area. Elaine is a fabulous 50s director. She was head of her director debuting class of 350 directors. Her highest commission check in 1 month has been $14,428, and she has earned in excess of $100,000 every year as a director. Her unit has achieved the Mary Kay Circle of Achievement, or Circle of Excellence, every year since becoming a unit. Prior to becoming national, Elaine earned 77 quarters a start. The cars Elaine has earned has been her first Cadillac in 1994 as a super achiever unit, and as a sales director earned a total of 11 Mary Kay cars, 10 being the popular pink Cadillac. Her prizes include 6 3.5-carat diamond rings, 15 cash rewards of $3,500, all expenses paid trips to Scotland, Austria, Alaskan cruise, Hawaii, and Hawaii again this year. As a national, she is taking her husband on all expenses paid trips to London in May 2015. Please welcome Elaine Williams.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Gosh, I sit back and hear that, and it's still hard to believe that I am a national sales director with Mary Kay. So, wow. Cindy Fox, oh my gosh, God just has his way of putting people together, and it was just such an awesome opportunity to network with Cindy when we moved to Anniston, Alabama, and yes, we have become very close friends, and Cindy, I haven't invited you yet. She's been to many of our beach retreats, but we'll be having our national debut the first weekend in October of 2015, and I would love to give a special invitation to Cindy to come and be a part again, and any national that might be listening in, you're welcome to come. I know that Debbie Moore is coming, Kathy Halu, and Lisa Madsen, but thank you so much, Cindy, and you know what? This is just going to be a call of passion because I just want to ask everybody on the call, the directors that are listening in, do you want to go to London? And then I'm going to repeat it. Do you really want to go to London? You know, you just have to have that deep down burning desire and a passion that's so strong that others know it without you even telling them. I mean, they can see it in your eyes. They see it in the way you carry yourself. There's just no doubt. If you truly want to go to London, then you've got to claim it. And people around you have to know you are going to London. You know, it's a deep down burning desire. It's such a deep burning desire that you're willing to burn the bridge of return. I mean, you are, there's no going back. You'll not consider going back. And, you know, the only way that you'll burn that bridge is to have so much momentum going that you wouldn't even consider turning back. You've made that decision. You've put your foot in, and you're not going back. You would not even consider it. And I'm just going to tell you, when you get to that point, you better have God as your partner because you will have some of the most amazing conversations with God, and he will speak to you and guide you in ways that it's unbelievable. So if you haven't had that experience with God, I challenge you to go to London and just to have that experience with God. So, ladies, you got to be all out. You got to be in it to win it. And I'll just tell you, goals, whatever goal you're working on, you know, goals are dreams with a deadline. So do you dream about London, or what is it? What are your goals right now that you really, really aspire to achieve? What are they? We're almost halfway through this seminar year. And guess what? It's doable to go to London no matter where you are. If you take out the numbers and you track them and you know what extra credit goes toward that. So, you know, get that deep down burning desire and passion and gain some momentum. Be all out and be in it to win it. And I'm telling y'all this because I just ran a race. Ooh, and it was a big goal with a deadline. And I'm just going to tell y'all, I was in it to win it. I had made my decision. I had a made-up mind. And I had burned that bridge. There was no turning back. And I will tell you, I have so much respect for every national sales director who ran that race and achieved the position of national sales director, because y'all, I'm just going to tell you, it makes London easy. So let me tell you, you can go to London. You can go to London. Just take the numbers out. Find out where you are. You know what? So many of you go, well, I wasn't sure if I was figuring right. Call the company. The company is there. They work from 8:30 to 5, and they answer phones to answer our questions. And so call, and they will hook you up to the right department that will tell you exactly where you are and exactly what you have to do. I mean, I could figure it out, but I always call the company just to confirm and make sure my numbers were right. So that's what the company is there for. And so always, you know, you've got to have it in front of you. You've got to be tracking it. So I'm just going to tell y'all, my first trip ever that I earned in Mary Kay, I had a made-up mind. My unit was rallying. I just have the most awesome unit, and I didn't ask a whole lot of them all the time, but when I asked for them to kick in, they did. And I won't ever forget, we were tracking it. We were right on track, and on the very last day of the month, we had a $3,000 wholesale order that fell through. And we were still short a little bit. And I can remember, Mike was at the house for some reason that day, and, you know, he saw the stress and all the anxiety, and I remember him taking me and putting his hands on each of my shoulders and looking at me and saying, Elaine, it's okay. We do not have to go to Alaska. I don't like to see you this way. I don't like to see you upset like this. And I can remember looking at him dead in the right eye, and I said, no, it will be done today. And you know what? That's what I mean by having that burning desire, because all of a sudden he knew that there was no other option, that I was not throwing in the towel. And so instantly, where he was really there to rescue me and tell me, you don't have to stress out like this, instantly he saw that that's not where I was going, And so he said, okay, what can I do? What do I need to do to help? And that was the first time he had ever keyed in any kind of orders of Mary Kay. But you see, that's how you have to be so in it to win it that other people are just going to jump on board with you. I mean, because there is no other alternative. And so, you know, that is the most important thing first. And I'm going to be real honest with you, because probably on all these calls you've always heard the success stories. Well, I'm just going to tell you that I'm sick that I didn't go to China. Now, I'm not dwelling on it. I still became a national sales director, but I still will remember that forever and ever. You know, I wanted to go to China, but I just didn't have that deep down burning desire to get myself in gear and work toward it. And then when we got way past mid-year, Mike said, you know, I'd like to go to China. Well, that made me kick in more than anything. And I'm like, oh my gosh, let me see where we are. Let me get our numbers together. So I got the numbers together and I was like, oh, we're really going to have to kick in and work hard. And so I had the numbers in front of me and I was gaining momentum, but I just still didn't have that deep down burning desire. And so, you know, I think we even got into April, May, and June, the last month of the seminar year. That's when I'm like, okay, Mike really does want to go to China. I can't believe I have not been tracking this and working and tracking it all year long. So I kind of got that deep down burning desire, and I started working, and I started throwing it out there to my unit. And, y'all, it got down to the wire like the last week of the whole seminar year, and we needed to do so much, like so much. But I'll tell you, I did. I mean, I know what you have to do to get to reach that goal. And so I did. I became extremely passionate. And I can remember a Sunday morning getting up and, I mean, it was just like buzzing in my head and I was so focused. And I can remember getting up and going to church on a Sunday morning and it was raining. I won't ever forget. It was just pouring rain. And I can remember putting on my rain boots and I had a raincoat. And, I mean, I was just, I'm telling you, I was so in the zone. It was crazy. And we got to church and the message was just so appropriate for what I needed to do that day. And I remember reaching up and touching my ears, and I had put in I had on two different earrings. It was like I was so in the zone that nothing else, you know, I couldn't focus on anything else. And so we worked really hard, but y'all, we fell short because there just wasn't enough time. I didn't get that deep down burning desire in time. So that's why I'm telling you right now, stop saying it. Do it. Go get your numbers. Put them down on paper. Call the company. Confirm your numbers. Whatever it is. How many stars are you working on to complete by the 15th? You know, get that on paper. Communicate with your people. It's all about you being the leader and leading your people. Your people will follow your lead if you'll put that lead out there. So it's all about the power of momentum. Now, how you approach everything, how you approach each situation is everything. It's based on your thoughts and your feelings, and that determines your action. So momentum is so, so, so important. In fact, John Maxwell said, momentum is a leader's best friend because it is the great exaggerator. It makes leaders look better than they are. It makes followers more excited. It's easier. So I'm just going to tell you, it's easier to steer a group when you're working toward a goal than to start it. Sometimes that startup is hard and you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm in this thing alone. But it's just that you have to get that momentum going. You know, leadership is a responsibility. It's a commitment. And you have to make that commitment or you're not going to lead your team anywhere. They have to know that you have a made-up mind and that that is where you're going and that you're leading them because they have to believe in you. So get that momentum going. You know, like I said, sometimes you're going to feel like you're in the whole thing alone. And I'll tell you, I got this from Cindy Fox, because y'all know she is Mama Eagle, and she knows all about the eagles. And so if you know anything about eagles, eagles fly alone. You know, they don't fly in flocks like the typical birds. Usually when you see birds, they're in a flock. Well, eagles fly alone. So sometimes you just have to separate yourself and get your head in the right place. Get with God. That's another unbelievable time with God that you can have to just get your head on straight so that you can, so that when you go to your unit, that you've got everything in place and they just jump on board and they go with you. Because when you do that, that's going to build momentum. And so it's all about momentum. You know, it's all about walking into that class. Every skincare class you go into, you have to see everyone there as a potential team member. Or you got to know that they know somebody who would be a team member. You know, that's just the way you have to approach it, because what you think about, you bring about. And I know that. I know, because God says when we have faith and we don't look to the left, we don't look to the right, we do what we know we're supposed to do, and we believe that He is going to bless it, He will. Okay? He will. So it's, you can go into some skincare classes that might not look like it's promising at all, but because you expect it and you have fun with those people, you're going to get results. I'm telling you, it's all in the way you approach it. And you know what? You have to learn to ask questions. And surely by now as the leader, you know this, but you've got to teach your people, because the greatest frustration is having consultants all excited because they sat in on your training and they're pumped about going out and building their team. And they told everybody about Mary Kay, but they never asked anybody in the end if they wanted to join her team. You see, we've got to teach our people to ask questions. Ask questions. We tell everybody, you know, it needs to be a conversation. When I confirm guests, I want to hear her say, yes, I'm going to be there. So, you know, we have to teach our people. Even though you might have this skill mastered, you've got to teach your people. You know, we've got to understand the simple skill of a close. This came from Kathy Robinson, an awesome trainer, offspring director in my area. She said, we have to understand the simple skill of a closed-end question versus an open-end question. You know, a closed-end question gives you a yes or a no. You know, when you tell everybody and you have to ask for a decision, so that's a yes or no question. And then we have the open-ended question, and that's when you're just gathering information and you're listening to people. You know, that's where Sean Key has always said, well, tell me about you. So tell me, what's been a time that you've been proud of yourself in your life? You know, it's all about learning the person you're working with and figuring out her personality. Y'all, Cindy Fox, again, is one of the masters at teaching personalities. And I personally believe that that is one of the biggest skills we have to master in this business, because Mary Kay is so much more than selling cosmetics and selling lipstick. It is a people business. It's about working with women. So, you know, you've got to be able to pass your skills on to your people so that they can do the things that you're doing to be successful. Now, some of you might say, well, Elaine, you don't have children. You know, you can run those races and you have more time than everybody else. Well, let me tell you something. I've seen women in Mary Kay having all kinds of circumstances who achieve anyway. I've seen women who have children and they're single moms. I heard and all the stories of our mentor Rena Tarbett, how she was, cancer was in every part of her body, and guess what? She continued to work this business. I remember her when cancer came back and she had already agreed and told the company that she would teach at seminars. She told them, she said, well, don't schedule my chemo treatment then because I got to go train. You know, and I can remember her saying she recruited doctor's wives. She was up there taking chemo, but she continued to work the whole time. And so everybody has obstacles. You know, life is going to happen no matter who you are. And the biggest thing is for you to get your family involved. You know what? I well remember we had gained momentum and we were well on our way to work toward national. And I mean, really, momentum had kicked in, and we were lining directors up. And then all of a sudden, my mom, who at the time was 92, who had never been sick in her life. I mean, the only time she had ever been in the hospital was in 1965 to have a hysterectomy. And so all of a sudden, my mom got sick and had to go in the hospital. And you know, through our qualification to become a national, you know, I worked through my mom being in the hospital two different times, and she underwent a major surgery. I mean, a major surgery. And you know, it was a major surgery, and then when you look at her age, that made it even a little more major. But you know what? I did my part in helping her. I just figured out how to continue working. You know, we had so much momentum going. I wasn't going to quit. Remember, I had burned that bridge. And so I just figured it out. I figured out how to keep it going, and I didn't dwell on the obstacle. I just figured out a way to hurdle over it. And you know what? Because my family knew I was in it to win it, they worked with me. I did my part, but they knew what was going on because they were totally aware. You know, you have got to involve your family, because remember, when you work really, really hard toward a goal, it's usually a short-term sacrifice where you do let go of some things. So, you know, after my mom's surgery and she had a great recovery, you know, I asked for time. I asked my sister, I said, if you can just, you know, if you can handle it, I promise I'll make it up to you. I promise I'll make it up to you. If you can, you know, if she can stay with you, and I'll come in as I need to, but I promise when this is done, I'll make it up. And, y'all, that's exactly what I'm doing right now. Remember, it was a short-term sacrifice because Cindy Fox had asked me to do the call last week. And I was like, oh, gosh, I don't want to tell her no. But that was the day that I was to go to Georgia and help my mom regroup, get some winter clothes. I mean, my mom has not been home since January to her home. So, you know, that's when I had committed to go and be with her and us go through things. So that's what I did. I was with Mom last week, and I brought her home with me here. So she's here with me now, Thursday night. And so I'm making up for that time. You see, it's not forever and ever and ever. It's a short-term sacrifice that's so worth the long-term rewards. You know, and I'm going to use Jennifer Hamm, one of my downline directors, as an example as well. You know, she has been in Mary Kay, and I'm not sure, I should have checked this, over 2 years. And this girl manages a pharmacy. She basically runs the pharmacy. So she would work 50 hours, 60 hours, sometimes more than 60 hours a week, go in on Saturdays. And you know what? She couldn't afford to quit that job. She has continued to work that full-time job for over 2 years. And I have seen the most incredible work ethic in this one individual because she has children, her husband has children. She raises lab dogs because she raises them, and she loves them. They have a whole farm of animals. She loves animals, and she raises them, and she sells them. So that's another avenue of income. And there's times that I really have seen her, you know, leave Mariana, Florida, because that's a small area, and drive all the way to Dothan, or drive, you know, she drives about an hour everywhere she goes to work her business. And I've seen her, you know, have guests and have fun with them. And they ask her to go to dinner. And I said, and she was sick. This girl was sick as a dog. I mean, she had strep throat. No, it wasn't strep throat. She had tonsillitis. And she was so dragging by the time that event was over. And they were saying, well, let's all go to dinner. And I said to her, I said, Jennifer, you have to be at work at 7 in the morning. You still have an hour's drive home. You're sick as a dog. They will understand. You don't have to go to dinner with them well, they're all excited, and I've got some good potential recruits, so I'm just going to do it. And she did. I mean, she probably got home way after midnight, and then she was at work at 7 o'clock. But you know what? I'm so excited for her because December 31st is her last day at that pharmacy. You see, Jennifer Hamm knew what she was working toward. She knows what she's working toward. And she had it all planned out. Yeah, there were times that she was dragging, and there were times that her family probably were a little aggravated. But look what has happened. She's worked her way out of that job. So, y'all, you have to be consistent because inconsistent behavior brings inconsistent results. You're just going to be on that. You're just going to be getting nowhere. You know, you've got to know where you're going and how to get there. You know, sometimes I think we need to think less and do more. And, you know, it's December, yeah. But guess what? You know what? Make it a great month because in December there's teachers that are off for 2 weeks, and so many of them are looking for part-time jobs. I've never seen so many teachers have additional jobs, not only at Christmas time but all through the year. So I know they're going to be looking for part-time jobs during the Christmas holidays. And, y'all, this is the best time to find those people who are looking for tax deductions. You know, invite women that you feel like, oh, gosh, you know, she doesn't need Mary Kay. She makes enough money. Well, maybe she does, but maybe she needs some girlfriends. Maybe she needs some success. Maybe she just wants to be a part of something. And she and her family need a tax deduction at the end of the year. You know, there's all kind of reasons to work in December. It's the best holiday season of the year. I mean, it's the best selling season of the year because of the holidays. And if you offer to help men with their shopping, they're going to use your services. Maybe not every single one of them, but a lot of men will because they typically do not like to shop. So, you know, make the best of December. You know, be optimistic about it. And then I'm just going to tell y'all one of the things that I'm working really hard. You know, we worked on it all through the qualification to become a national, and that is work from the 15th to the 15th. You know, what you do from the 1st to the 15th is going to determine what happens that month. What you do from the 16th to the 30th, it's very likely that most of that will come to fruition the next month. But with intention, with all kind of intention, working to get in that pattern, you can make a lot of things happen just through your leadership and leading the way. So, you know what? I want to encourage you to figure out what was it that made you finish DIQ to become a director? You know, what was it what made you have that deep down burning desire to get it done? Because it's amazing what DIQs do to finish up directorship. Well, if you just did half of that every month, look where you would be. So what is it that gave you that deep down burning desire to shed that red jacket? And how many of you were so sick of that red jacket you couldn't stand it by the time you finished directorship? Well, go back and get that burning desire. And I just want to encourage you to unleash your potential and start today. Make this your greatest beginning ever. And be focused and have that deep down burning desire to achieve your personal goals, your unit goals, and so that leads over into your unit and you're teaching them to do the same thing. So thank you so much for your time today. I hope that somebody has gotten something from it, and I'll turn it back over to Cindy.
Hey, Elaine, what a perfect call for today. Make today your new beginning. Basically. And, you know, today's December 8th, and 8 is the number for new beginnings. And so I have a couple of questions for you, okay?
Okay.
Just to kind of tag on, if you've got time, to our call. I would like for you to share with everybody, just like your Reader's Digest condensed version of your I story about being a school teacher before Mary Kay and so forth. And okay?
Okay, I can do that.
What you said about teachers, I know you're right that teachers are looking for extra money and looking for, you know, part-time jobs or part-time temporary work or something. So share that with us.
Okay. Well, I will tell you, I'm a former school teacher, and I actually loved teaching when I was teaching because that was a lot of years ago. Things have changed quite a bit. But I did love teaching. Wasn't looking for anything different. That's when Mike was at the University of Southern Miss working with Coach Bauer. And he, Debbie Bauer, who is now my senior director, kind of cornered him at a coaches convention and shared Mary Kay with him. Well, he came home all excited because Mike had always wanted us to have some kind of business on the side. He had tried so many different things, you know, that were pyramids. And so he came home all excited, and I said, I am not a salesperson, and I would never consider, like never. And he went, I've already told her she could come talk to you. Well, I was really upset with him because this was his boss's wife. And if any of you know Debbie Bauer, you don't tell Debbie Bauer no. And so I was just trying to figure out how I was going to get out of this. And I told, and I remember telling him, you're going to sit here and you're going to help me because I can't believe you asked her to come share this with me. So long story short is it did sound great and wonderful, but still I didn't consider myself a salesperson. And I really did not want to do it. And it was only through Mike's persistence and Debbie's persistence, you know, that I finally did it just to pacify them, because Mike said, Elaine, do it for 1 year. You know, do it for a year. And all I care is that you make enough money that we go anywhere we want to go on the on a vacation during the summertime. And I thought, well, that's, you know, that's not a huge goal. So I'm really just going to prove to him it's not what he thinks it is, and I'll be out of here. Well, being a teacher, you know, Debbie, I follow the rules. So Debbie said, you need to come to the trainings. Actually, she said to a meeting, and I don't like meetings. And I thought, the last thing I want to do is go sit in a room full of women and hear them gossip, you know, my vision. And, y'all, we have to think about this because it's what other people think that have not been in our space. Because I visualized a bunch of women in there gossiping, and I kind of thought about it like the workroom in the teacher's lounge. And I never went in there. I always worked in my room because I just felt like I didn't have time for that. And so that's what I visualized. But because Debbie is such a strong personality, you know, she pretty much told me I needed to go. And being a teacher, I just followed the direction. So I went. And I began to get my training. And, you know, Mary Kay just became a way of life. I mean, I got prize motivated. I didn't think I was prize motivated, but I did. I mean, they dangled the prizes in front of me, and I was like, okay, what do I have to do to earn that? And so this business proved itself to me. And I'll be honest with y'all and tell you, if I had not been making money, I would have never stuck with it. But I held two skincare classes every single week consistently, and that's what I did. And that's what I did to build my business. And then I began to share the business, or people began to ask me about the business opportunity. So, you know, working both avenues of income, selling product, earning 50%, building your team, that builds a strong Mary Kay business. And yeah, then I kind of got hungry for a car. And then Debbie went on to become a director in less than a year. And I thought, well, gosh, if she can do that, I can too, because we basically learned this business together. And so, you know, now I cringe to think how close I came to not making that decision to do Mary Kay. I mean, really, I get up every morning and thank God for this opportunity. Very few mornings do I forget to do that, because it has been the biggest turning point in my life. You know, it made my relationship with God more powerful. Just everything good has come from me being connected to this Mary Kay business. And you know what? There's a lot of people that need what Mary Kay has to offer. Maybe it's not the money. What is it that they need? They need the sisterhood. So why would we hold back and not share with everyone? You know what? If they say no, it's okay. But at least it's our responsibility to share. So it's been an incredible journey. Oh, my gosh. Years ago in 1992, 93, if you had said, would you be a national sales director, I would have probably said, oh, my gosh, no. I just want to make extra money. So we just never know. And I'm telling you, it's changed my life forever. And that's what makes me passionate about sharing with other women. Whose life can we totally change through this opportunity?
Mm-hmm. And I was noticing in your accolades, you won your first car and while you were still teaching school. And did you become a sales director while you were still teaching school full time?
I did, and I left that out. So I started working consistently. I went to my weekly trainings every single week. Y'all, I would not be talking to you today if I had not attended my weekly trainings, because that's what kept me motivated and gave me the training to move forward. But I did. I started Mary Kay in 1992, still teaching, earned my first car in 93, became a sales director, and earned the pink Cadillac in 94, in January of 94. And I can remember Kathy Alou saying, "Has this business not proven itself to you? When are you going to quit teaching?" And so I'm just a woman of my word. And so I was beginning to think, okay, this can be my life. This can be my career. And so, but I finished out that school year. And I became a sales director, earned the pink Cadillac in January of 94. And then I finished out that school year and did not go back the following year. But I basically built a Cadillac unit while I was still teaching school.
While you're still teaching. I think that's really important to note, you guys, because, we know there are other top directors and nationals that kept a full-time job while they built, to Cadillac director, and then they made that decision. And I think of Dr. James Dobson, who y'all know from Focus on the Family, talks about raising each child differently as they're bent, he says, or, according to how they're wired. And so as you have offspring, you've got to do that. And Kathy Hillou, her consistent encouragement, Elaine, what's got to happen, before you know that you can leave that. And having that firm, consistent nudging and the difference between that and making them feel condemned, because I think sometimes we can make a director feel condemned or whatever, but loving them into making that decision of going, full-time with their Mary Kay business. And Elaine, you have consistently, since your first year as a director, I don't know if everybody caught this, been a top sales director and have been in a unit club every single year as a director. And that's huge. That's huge. And you've won 6 3.5 or more carat diamond rings and had 15 cash rewards of $3,500. So if I'm doing the math right, does that mean you've been in a unit club and done $500,000 or better at least, is that 21 times?
That sounds right. I haven't counted them, but that's about right.
Amazing. Awesome. I mean, goodness, kudos to you. That is so awesome. No wonder you're a national sales director. So one more question, then I want to let any other national that wants to speak up come on the line. So Elaine Williams, brand new national sales director. Woo-hoo! I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy. And, yes, I will be at your debut in October. I've already marked my calendar while you were talking.
So hey.
First Saturday, right?
Yes.
Saturday in October, so
yep.
Count on it. What was it like? We're just fresh back a couple of weeks ago from your very first NSD summit. What was that like?
It's like I said at the beginning of the call, it's still sinking in. I mean, when I hear other people say that, it's like, oh, I really am a national. So when I walked in, I mean, I won't ever forget walking in the hotel, and I actually had Charlotte Sanders, one of my new downline directors, because she lives in Dallas, and we had Sonia Kidd, her senior, and I had done her debut the night before. So I spent the night with Charlotte, and she brought me to the hotel. And Charlotte and I were walking in, and I mean, I was seeing Cheryl Steinman and Stacey James and Cheryl Warfield, and I'm like, ooh, it kind of felt like being at seminar and you're seeing all these figures and then they go their way and I go mine. And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm going to be with these ladies. So I won't ever forget that experience walking in the hotel and thinking, I'm checking into this hotel to be with these women. So, but as big as that picture is and maybe intimidating as it sounds, it was the warmest group of women mm-hmm. I've ever been around in my entire life. Like, I felt the minute we all walked into a room together and we started the first session, I felt such comfort and such love. It was incredible that here I was, this little bitty person looking at all these nationals, but then I felt so welcomed by them. So it's just it was an experience I will remember forever, just being with these nationals for those few days, because they're just big thinkers but down to earth people, if that can make sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a confession for you. While we were there in SD Summit, I kept looking for you in the crowd, and the look on your face was priceless. It reminded me of when my kids were just little and how their faces looked at Christmas time. You know, that wonder, you know, when we would put light up.
Right, I totally know what you're talking about.
The look on your face, and, it was like you were thinking to yourself, pinch me, you know, am I dreaming?
That's exactly where you read my expression correctly.
It does feel that way. Well, congratulations again. Any other national that would like to speak up at this time?
I would. It's Kathy Halil.
You
know I wouldn't miss my offspring national talking. Well, first of all, Cindy, I want to say thanks. I feel like we co-raised up in a totally different way. You were just an incredible mentor for Elaine. You know, she knew she could go to you with anything. I think you had such a tremendous impact on her spiritual walk as well. And just holding her accountable. I mean, you're just no nonsense, and I love that. And you know what? Elaine has always been a responder to no nonsense. Her husband is a no nonsense guy. Debbie Bauer is a no nonsense senior. I call her General Debbie, and she is exactly what the Lord knew that Elaine would respond to. And then I have always been amazed at Elaine's work ethic. If they heard nothing else, her work ethic has always been impeccable. And Elaine, it's true, if Elaine had not made money in Mary Kay, she wouldn't be here today. Because in the beginning, it wasn't about a feel-good for her, but her heart has been so softened by the Lord over the years, and she's such a feeler now, even though she's still very headstrong. Elaine came out of nowhere to be a national, and I just want to say that. You can come out of nowhere to be a trip director. I don't care if you're sitting on this call with 50 people in your unit. Elaine had to know that this was the right business move for her. Elaine had to know that she was going to continue to make money and grow an income, because she wasn't going to become a national for the title, for the position. She was becoming a national for the income and, of course, the potential impact that she would have and the 15-year retirement that would give her and Mike. No doubt about it. And, you know, when she called the company and found out that there was an income that would be a game changer for her, she put her head down. She did exactly what she said. She sold it to her people. She got a strategy. She out loud shared her goal poster and included everybody that she knew were loyal people, that were people who are businesswomen as well. And she just did it. And you can do it too. I mean, I think, Elaine, you totally shocked our national area when you said, I'm going to be a national. And for 10 months, she put her head down, put her blinders on, rallied her people, and went to work, which is why I know that anybody on this call can be in London if you just put your blinders on, put your head down, and go to work and rally the troops, exactly what Elaine said to you. She gave you very simple but very strategic pieces today. And I sent a message before we went to the NSD Summit to Robin Ward in October this year, and I said, can you please tell me what my national sales directors have earned? And Elaine Williams will receive a plaque at seminar. It could be $2 million, because right now she's earned $1,790,170.32. That was as of October, $1,790,000. She's definitely almost a $2 million producer, and she's been a director all these years. Mm-hmm. A new national only September and October and November, only 90 days has been a national income, and she's almost at the $2 million mark. That is a woman who, as you said, Cindy, she's been in my top 10. She put her head down. She won a trip the first year. She was the head of her class because she has a tremendous work ethic. And Elaine, I am so extremely proud of you and your national area. They debuted with 30 directors. She hardly ever missed a trip. And I can tell you this right now, Elaine Williams will go on to be a very, very top national sales director because she has a tremendous work ethic and she's got a passion to help people to have freedom and flexibility and security in the Mary Kay opportunity. And I just love you to pieces, and I'm so proud of you.
Well, thank you, Kathy. I love you, too.
Ah, that's right.
I'm so blessed.
Right. I hope everybody caught that, Kathy, that Elaine has consistently earned six figures, 100,000 commissions or more
every year
as a director.
Every year.
How powerful is that?
And Debbie Bauer, her senior.
Mm-hmm.
She learned it from Debbie Bauer.
Mm-hmm.
Really, they're work people. They love this opportunity, and it pays. For people to say you don't make money in Mary Kay, wrong.
That's right. That's right. You do make money in Mary Kay. And so, Elaine, tell us, where were you at 10 months before you debuted as a national? You said you put your head down for 10 months. Were you an elite? How many offspring did you have?
I was an executive.
You were an executive senior. And so you had five first line?
I did.
Five first line. And how many second line?
I think we had three second line.
Wow. Now this is the London 2.0, okay? And it's all going to start with that bare minimum target of doing trip this year. Don't get confused, directors. You know, you can build first lines, which you got to have, and you can build to Cadillac, which you must have to be a national sales director. You have to be a Cadillac sales director, of course, first and foremost. And as you're building a Cadillac and have that momentum that Elaine has talked to us so well about this morning, you can do trip too. And 10 months of putting your head down. And so what did that look like? Did you work, how many hours a week? Because I know somebody's on here is going, how many hours a week did you work?
Gosh, it's so hard that, you know, I've never been able to figure out how many hours a week I work Mary Kay, because I always figure out a way to work it in with other things, just like, you know, with Mother being here this weekend, and we're limited to what we can get out to get out and do. Well, we did get in the vehicle and just ride around yesterday, but while we were riding around, I mean, I managed to return a few texts and things. So, I've never been able to tell somebody how much time I work, because if I go work out, you know, that was always so much a part of my life before this national thing. Now I'm getting myself back into it, but, you know, if I go to the gym and I work out, I'll likely find somebody to talk to. So it's so hard to figure out. But I will tell you, I worked a lot more hours because, you know, this is kind of like the ultimate goal in Mary Kay. So I did put in a lot more hours than I had done. And there were times that I would sit, when I said that, you know, sometimes it's a lonesome place. You know, I can remember sitting at my desk at night and literally hearing silence in my ears and thinking, okay, God, lead me and let me know what I need to do tomorrow. So, but, you know, again, it's, you know, if you're working on, when you're working toward a goal and there's something in it for you, there's something in it for your family, and there's something in it for your unit, you know, you just have the drive to do it. And when it's done, it's just amazing. Like, you know, I'd kind of settled in, and now just hearing Cindy and Kathy talk about me becoming a national, now it's like, wow, it was big. It was big that I did that, you know. So I don't know, Cindy. It's hard to say how much time. I did put a lot of time in, but
right,
it doesn't take all. I still manage to help take care of my mom.
Right. And, you know, it reminds me of something we heard while we were at NSD Summit, and I think Stacey James said this, that it's the difference between being a business owner and an entrepreneur. Wasn't that powerful?
You know,
a business owner has hours. You know, your store is open 9 to 5, 8 to 5, whatever it is, and they see it as a project, and they'll eventually probably sell it, a business owner, quote, unquote. But an entrepreneur views it totally differently. They view it as, I'm creating something. You were creating your national area. And so you don't set hours. You do just like Elaine just explained to us. You pray every day, okay, God, you know, what do I need to do today? What do I need to do tomorrow? And you let the Lord lead you in that. And then Stacey James said, and an entrepreneur, as you are creating something, you will get paid even in your sleep. You will get paid even in your sleep. And so, you know, and it makes me think of this, you know, if, you know, it's like having kids or being married. Do you say, well, I'm just going to be married, or I'm just going to be a mom, you know, 40 hours a week or 30 hours a week. You know, no. You know, you're Mike's wife 24/7, 365 days a year, you know, and that you have to look at it like I'm creating something, and you don't have a set, you can't put it in a box. When you are creating a national area and you're ready to get it done in 10 months, like Elaine was ready to get it done, then you're willing. Short-term sacrifices, Elaine said, versus long-term reward, long-term benefit. Well, any other national, really quick, that would like to speak up?
Hey, Cindy, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Good morning.
Hey, Elaine, this is Kathy Rogers Smith, your other friend in Alabama. And I just wanted to say you are just absolutely incredible, and your passion truly is evident in everything in you and your offsprings, because, you know, we get to be with Shanna and Kathy and them a lot here in Alabama. And just last week I was in Georgia with Casey and some of your other offspring. And we had some time together kind of with one of my area directors at lunch, and Casey just bragged on you, and just the difference this year. She said, I have seen Elaine work with, and that was her exact words, I have seen Elaine work with so much passion this year that you just moved them in a way that they had never been moved before in their excitement and them achieving their goals and achieving. And that's what it's all about, you know, is that you poured into them, and together all of that brought forth that national dream. And we are so excited and so grateful to have you now be a part of it, that we can travel the world more together, because you and I traveled some top director trips together. But the national trip, girl, oh, my gosh, it will be so incredible, and just to spend more time with you and just that fellowship part of it, you know, that we
I'm so excited.
And I wanted to say thank you personally for affirming that you held, that you were taught in the beginning of your business to hold two skincare parties a week, because that truly is what we were taught, and that truly is what builds that strong financial business, which is what you did. That's what Cindy taught me when I said, Cindy, what do I need to earn a car? She said, Kathy, if you'll consistently hold 2 to 3 parties a week, but do it every single week consistently,
right,
you'll earn that car in 6 months. And that's exactly what I did, because it's what I taught. So I'm so thankful that you are teaching that and affirming that, and that, you know, that you spoke up and said that that's what you did to get where you are and to get the financial security of that strong Cadillac unit, and then that top director unit that you had for all those years came because you built strong in the beginning. And that's it. You know, there is no other way to really, truly get it strong. And so I thank you for affirming that, and then I thank you for the words that you said, whose life can we totally change by working our business with passion and commitment. And I just want you to know, Elaine Williams, you truly are changing lives. And you are touching people and changing lives and inspiring others. And as Cindy said, you always do it the Mary Kay way, the true go-give spirit, the ethical woman of your word, spiritual, and in the the health part of it. I have always admired you because you've always worked out and been in shape, and I would just always think she is so beautiful and she just looks so great, and you could tell that you felt great, and you motivated me always, even in those ways. So thank you for all that you've done and will continue to do to pour in to all of us. We love you.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
Well, Elaine, I see our time has come to an end. Thank you so much for giving us an hour of power this morning and a call to passion. It was awesome. I knew it would be. And so y'all go forth and have a great week. We'll talk to you next Monday. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Cindy. Bye-bye.